Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. Radical Russ here at the Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo here in Phoenix, Arizona with CannabisRadio.com. And joining us here at the desk, we've got Jeff Homburg, Dr. Jeff Homburg, a production analyst and soil scientist with Billy Buds. Welcome, Jeff.
Howdy.
How you doing?
Doing great.
So Billy Buds, Herman Melville? I'm thinking. But Billy Buds, organic and natural sun-grown cannabis. So glad to hear that, because why reduplicate the sun?
Exactly.
Tell us about your grow.
Well, we're now applying for a rec license. We've been growing some medical. We have a very good team together in Manitou Springs. And we're planning to move into a bigger operation. And we do only, mainly outdoor grow. We will be doing some greenhouse.
Okay.
But one thing that stands us apart is we do entirely organic.
Okay.
And being a soil scientist, I'm biased. I think we should be growing in the soil. We should be taking advantage of what Mother Nature supplies us in the sun. And I think in terms of sustainability, that outdoors is really where it's going to be.
So as a soil scientist, have you been always concentrated on cannabis, or has this been a larger horticultural thing for you?
To tell you the truth, I'm moving into this. I grew when I was very, very young, 13 years old.
Wow.
In Oklahoma. So, you know, it's quite some time ago.
In Oklahoma?
Yes.
That's a hell of a risk.
Well, back then, at that time, this is 1970, many people didn't even know what it looked like. So it wasn't so much of a problem at that time. But that said, no, I do research on traditional agriculture, Native American farming. I work on the archaeology of agriculture here in Arizona, and I've been doing a major study of the oldest irrigated soils in the United States.
Wow.
At over 3,500 years old, right in the Tucson Basin along the Santa Cruz River. Well, then they were growing mainly maize.
Yeah, that's fascinating. So when it comes to growing sun-grown organic cannabis, how is the soil here in Arizona compared to, say, you know, the Emerald Triangle of California or other places?
The soils are quite good, generally, if you can get enough water to them.
Yeah.
I mean, you may need to do some additional organic amendments, but generally the soils are quite good in the desert.
Oh, that's good to hear. So for beginners out there, I mean, there's a lot of states that are now passing medical and recreational laws, and some people are taking up growing for the very first time. What do they need to look for when they're trying to do soils and nutrients? Because there's so many companies and so many products. What would you recommend?
I would take a step back. I mean, I would measure the soil properties of the place you're growing and what kinds of natural soils you have, and then I would go from there to see what it is you might need to add.
What are we looking for when we do that measurement?
Well, the key things to look at are certainly nitrogen content, phosphorus content. We want to know what the pH is, because that really controls the availability of nutrients.
Okay.
We look at a number of other things. If you have a higher pH, we might look at things called sodium adsorption ratio to see whether salts are causing a problem so that we could lower them if we needed to.
Wow. All right.
So basically we try to head off these problems before we even start. And
right.
Of course, we're right here in the Phoenix Basin. Some of the second largest ancient irrigation system was developed right here in the Phoenix Basin. And they built canals that were up to 24 miles long in prehistory, right in this valley.
Really?
Which is only second behind the mochi culture of Peru.
Wow.
I mean, there's an amazing technology, but earlier than that, I think it took them a while to learn how to develop that technology to harness a river to farm off of the Salt River. We think that it took them learning on smaller drainages like the Santa Cruz River in Tucson. So irrigation comes in roughly the last couple thousand years here, but it goes two millennia earlier in Tucson.
Now, growing here in the Phoenix Basin, I mean, I was here in August one time, it was 115 degrees outside. How does the extremes of temperature here in Arizona affect the growing of sun-grown cannabis?
I think it'd actually be detrimental. You know, I think we may not be able to do it here in the Phoenix Basin. I think if you get up to a little bit higher in elevation in Arizona, there's some very good places. If you get up over 4,000 feet, ideally, say 5,000 to 7,000 feet, I think you could be quite successful. Along the Mogollon Rim and the transition zone of central Arizona, I think it would be a great place to grow.
All right. So Billy Buds is organic and natural sun-grown cannabis. The website, BillyBuds.com, that's Buds with a Z.
That's correct.
So BillyBuds.com. Are you guys supplying local dispensaries currently?
We will. We're okay. in the process of lining up a contract to do that. Our first step is to find the land to expand our operation and then get our rec license. So this is our goal here in the next year to move into that. But I, as a plug to ourselves, and we're going to be in a session here coming up on indoor versus outdoor growing.
Uh-huh.
I'm certainly very biased, but we've been able to prove that you can be successful in many different ways with the outdoor grow in terms of THC levels. Okay. We're getting higher levels than anybody's gotten in any strain. So it's a myth to think that, you know, you're going to get higher quality indoors.
Yeah, that's one of the things I was going to address. And the other was that, you know, a lot of these growers have been growing indoors because of the necessity of prohibition. You
right.
had to keep it hidden. You had to get lights to duplicate the sun. But now that we're turning legal and moving towards sun-grown, which I think is very important as far as, you know, saving the planet and
exactly.
carbon emissions and all of that.
It's sustainable. You know, I don't think the indoor is sustainable in the long run, and I think outdoor will be. I agree that, you know, we're needing it now with the status of where we are in the industry, but moving forward, I think we're going to be going outdoors.
So if a guy's got an indoor grow and the best possible light setup and all the soils and nutrients he needs, is he going to grow a product that would be in any way distinguishable from the outdoor product, either better or worse? Is there a difference in taste, in flavor, and anything
well,
like that?
Well, many people think that they can taste the difference of using inorganic fertilizers.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly pesticides, you may not taste that, but, you know, yeah. if you're using pesticides, I think that's a big problem. So
yeah, and that is a concern dealing with outdoor grow, is you have less control over your environment. In an indoor grow, you can, you know, hermetically seal the damn thing and wear a clean suit if you wanted to.
That's true. There are some advantages of being able to control the environment, but I think the cost overall
mm-hmm.
is so much different. You know,
yeah.
I'm hearing of operations here in the Phoenix Basin where they have bills of $50,000 to $60,000 a month, electric bills
wow.
per month.
Wow.
I mean, that clearly is not sustainable, you know, and most people that are in this industry are more sensitive about environmental concerns.
Sure.
So I think most people really would like to see it go that way.
Yeah, I know I would. One concern we hear, though, is how many grow cycles you get outdoor versus indoor. Indoor, like 4 a year, and outdoor, you're getting one crop. Is that right?
That's true. And the timing of when you know, you can harvest, you can certainly control that better with the indoor. So there are advantages.
Mm-hmm.
And we ourselves, we plan to do some work with greenhouse, really just to help spread out our production at different times of the year.
Yeah.
But we're going to really emphasize the outdoor.
Yeah, I can't see that it doesn't eventually go majority outdoor as it becomes more and more legal, just like you say, the cost and the environmental aspects of this. Jeff Homburg, PhD, he's a production analyst and soil scientist here with Billy Buds, organic and natural sun-grown cannabis. The website is BillyBuds.com. Do you have any other contact info you want to give to people?
Let's see. We do have a website, BillyBuds.com. That's really the main contact. We will have other social media up. We're in the process of working through that.
All right. Well, Jeff, thanks for joining us here at CannabisRadio.com and telling folks about the advantages of outdoor growing. And your panel starts pretty soon?
Yeah, right away.
All right, folks. So if you're here, if you're listening to me on your remote devices, head into that indoor versus outdoor panel. Jeff, thank you so much for being here. And good luck with everything.
Good luck.
All right, folks, we got more interviews coming up here at the CannabisRadio.com desk. I'm Radical Russ from the Russ Belville Show. Stay tuned. Another interview coming up in just a couple of minutes. Until then, music for you.